Good day. Welcome to Westchester Talk Radio, westchestertalkradio.com. I'm John Marino, and this is the Sports Report. We are made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that service built, by Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard, also by White Plains Hospital and Michael Labriola, landscape design and construction of Armonk. Yes, we are, of course, produced by Shark Creative. We are joined here on the Sports Report by Sammy Maldonado. Sammy Maldonado, Harrison High School football legend, played in college at Ohio State and at Maryland, one of the all-time great running backs, and statistically one of the all-time great running backs, too, in New York State history, a Harrison Husky, Sammy Maldonado. He'll be inducted into the Westchester Sports Hall of Fame November 15th, Glen Island Harbor Club in New Rochelle. He has been selected for induction along with the rest of the class of 2023, Jim Turnbull. He is a lacrosse legend. Also, Meg Freyna. Muggsy, Meg Freyna, she is a basketball pioneer, a women's official, and much more. Also by Ali Marpet, Super Bowl winning lineman, offensive lineman with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady. He attended Hastings High School and was a great two-way lineman there at Hastings, and by probably the best basketball coach in New York State history overall, Mount Vernon High School, has won many a championship there, boys championships at Mount Vernon, Bob Cimino. Congratulations, one and all, to the class of 2023. Sammy Maldonado is with us here. Congratulations to you on your selection to the Westchester Sports Hall of Fame. Sammy, you were it, the in thing in the late 90s at Harrison High School. I think for a stretch, you are the all-time greatest running back in New York State history, too. Had the most career yards. Were you born and raised in Harrison?
Yes, I was born and raised.
So you went through the whole school system, bottom to top, right? From kindergarten through high school?
Yes, I went to the daycare in Harrison. And then I went to Harrison Avenue, Parsons Memorial School, LMK, and then the high school.
When did you begin to play football?
When I was 8 years old.
How did it happen? Brother, what did you do?
My brother was playing Pop Warner in Mamaroneck. And I was going to all his games. And I was 7 years old. And I had to wait a year to play. So when I was 8 years old, I started playing midget football, Pop Warner.
How big were you then at that time? Bigger than the average 8 year old?
Oh, yeah, you can say so. I don't really remember, but yes.
Uh-huh. What position did you play right away? Being a bigger kid, did they try to put you, like, on the line, offensive, defensive lines?
No, I was always playing running back. But when I came to Harrison, I played midget football in Harrison, sixth grade. There's a weight limit. And I was over 100 pounds. And I had to play center for 1 year. And so I did that for 1 year in Harrison. And then seventh and eighth grade, I played running back.
What did it feel like playing the offensive line, the guy who hikes the ball?
It felt pretty good. I was still behind the quarterback, still taking lead and charge. So it felt great.
And then from there, you went to Harrison High School. When did you hit the varsity, as a freshman or an eighth grader?
Oh, I was. I played as a ninth grader, a freshman.
As a freshman. And yeah. Did you start right away in the backfield immediately?
No, I didn't start right away. There was a senior in front of me, two seniors, and a senior fullback. So when I first came in, I started at playing fullback. And then my sophomore year, I took over the tailback position in Harrison.
Fullback is a position that's hardly used anymore. Teams who use the fullback know how to use it really well, like, say, the 49ers among one of them. And there are other teams that utilize the full Jets now and again with Nick Bawden. Giants don't use a fullback anymore. Seen a few times this year where, like the game against Buffalo the other night, several plays where they use two, and they'll call it two running backs instead of a fullback. They don't have a real fullback on the roster. What's the difference between those two positions from the standpoint of being a fullback? You got to be able to block. You got to be able to get out of the backfield, catch a short pass, where as the tailback, you are the guy. As the fullback, were you saying, come on, you got to make me the lead tailback?
No, we're out there all playing as a team. So at the end of the day, we're all trying to succeed. And the fullback is what helped me gain all my yards at the end of the day, and my linemen. So I would be nothing without those front guys.
Did you play defense too?
Yes, I played defense, outside linebacker.
How did you like that? Did you ever consider like linebacker for a career in college or beyond, or was it running back all the way for you?
No, actually, at the time, it was always running back. You know, I wanted to go to Ohio State. I was all up on high Eddie George and Ohio State offense, how they ran the I formation. They ran just like us. So I was all mighty, mighty. But if I had someone like really mentoring me now, because from what I know now, there's no more value in running backs anymore. And your career will last longer as a defensive player, I feel like, if you're playing defense, because you're not getting beat up as much.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was giving advice to a young player, I would tell him to make the decision he wants to. But remember, if he wants for a long-term career, I would play defense.
Mm-hmm. As a running back, you are taking all the hits. And I'm going to say this, and I mean this, the way the Giants handle, say, Saquon Barkley was wrong. And you see his value to the team. They had a shot against the Bills very much because he returned to the lineup. And to me, that's, if you don't have a running game in football, chances are you're probably not going to go anywhere. And that running back may not last 4 or 5 years. And I know they look at that position nowadays as just, let's turn him over. Use a guy 3-4 years, bring another guy in and keep it rolling and have 2 or 3 guys we could go to at the same time, like the Jets and Giants do right now. But your thoughts on the running back and how that position has been devalued now across football?
I just, you know, we put our bodies through a lot at the end of the day. So I think we should be compensated as a running back, you know? So we do a lot, especially if you're one of the top elite running backs and you're getting the ball 20 to 30 times a game, you're getting a lot of touches and you're producing, I think they should be getting paid.
Mm-hmm. I see the Giants, what they gave Daniel Jones, what they had to give Daniel Jones. And yet I look at this and I say he should give half his salary to Saquon Barkley. And I know they're best friends, basically, and they're happy for each other's success and whatever the other guy gets. And yet there's a reality to the whole thing that without a Saquon Barkley, the Giants can't do anything. And without, let's say, the Jets, for example, Zach Wilson, the way he's come around, without Breece Hall, he might still be what Zach Wilson was for more than 2 years until that game against Kansas City a couple of weeks ago. So as you came up as a running back and you touched the ball more and more, how many schools recruited you at that time?
Every school in the country recruited me at the time. And you know, I had a tough decision. But there was only 2 schools that really wanted me to come play defense.
Which schools were those?
Penn State and Wisconsin.
What did you think about that when they thought of you as a D guy?
At the time, I didn't think anything of it. I was just young, and I just wanted that ball all the time. But like I said, if I had times to change, you know, I would rethink my situation, you know, and see what's better for me in the long run.
How did you...
People always told me I was a great defensive player as well.
How did you sift through all of those offers from college? You had what you wanted to do in your mind, and yet sometimes you could see an offer that looks maybe too good to be true from a school you didn't expect.
To be honest with you, I made my decision really early in December because I was getting stressful and I just wanted to finish the whole process and focus on school. So, you know, at the end of the day, I rushed it. But if I could go back, you know, it took all 5 visits and mm-hmm. take my time and mm-hmm. really evaluate like the best situation for me.
Did you go on any visits at all?
Yeah, I went to Syracuse.
Ohio State, that's it.
Syracuse and Ohio State. I went to Syracuse because I really wanted to go to Syracuse too. But, you know, I was young. And at the time, they wanted to give me number 44. You know, and that was a big, big deal. I mean, and being a kid, I didn't think like I think now. You know, Jim Brown's number 44, they don't give that number to nobody. So it's a big honor.
Yeah, I would have thought it would have been retired too, obviously, at Syracuse.
Yeah, but at that time it wasn't.
Uh-huh. Jim Brown, of course, passed away recently, Sammy Maldonado, Harrison High School football legend, played at Ohio State and Maryland, will be inducted into the Westchester Sports Hall of Fame on November 15th, Glen Island Harbor Club in New Rochelle. John Marino, WestchesterTalkRadio.com, the sports report. Sammy, as you made your way to Ohio State, and I've heard this from people from our area, Section 1, the Hudson Valley, great running backs like you, guys who played other positions, excelled there and went to college. And they've said to me, you know, you grow up in your hometown, you're the best player there at that position, or maybe the best in Westchester, maybe the best in Section 1 through the Hudson Valley, maybe all of New York State. And you get to college and you're on a major team like an Ohio State, a Syracuse, a Michigan State, a Michigan, UCLA, Washington, whatever it might be. And all these schools have 120 kids. And you get there and you realize that the other 119 besides you, just like you, they were the best player at their position in high school and their hometown too. And you have to start at basically peg one, square one, and work your way up. Is that what you had to do at Ohio State? Now, remember when you went there, you had just a mess of running backs at that time. There were like seven or eight that you have basically had to beat out.
Yes, there was a lot of running backs at the time. But at the end of the day, when you're coming into school, there's always that nerves that going through because you never know what's going to happen. And at the end of the day, you're not going to get as many reps as the next man in front of you. So it's very important to make sure you, whatever rep, one, two, three rep you get, you got to go out there, go 110% and shine while you're doing the rep and make everything perfect. So then the more reps, the more perfect you get, the more reps you get in practice, and the more they see you, and they value you.
How long did it take you to work your way up the line in the backfield at Ohio State to become a prominent player there in that backfield?
Well, at the time I came in injured into Ohio State, I had a sprained MCL as a freshman, so I came in, but I played my freshman year. I had 22 carries for 50 yards. You know, the coach recruited me, Coach Cooper, asked me if I wanted to play, and I said, you know, me being a freshman out there, I ran right in there, and I scored my first touchdown against Penn State. So I was very excited at the time. So, yeah, it was great.
So you're at Ohio State for 1 year. What happened in year two?
Year two, Coach Cooper, who recruited me, got fired, and there was a coach change. And Jim Tressel came in and took over for Ohio State.
What happened then? How was your relationship with him?
Well, we really didn't have a relationship. He basically mentioned that I had mistakes. I was making mistakes in practice and during reps. But my mom was there for 2 weeks, and she had videotaped all that. And she's seen, and she mentioned that to him. And it was a big deal, big process. And ever since that day, I decided to transfer.
There was a lot of controversy about his coaching style there. Is that a good way to coach? Is that a good way to coach just to point out mistakes? Or we see other coaches who made their mark by being basically positive all the time, like a Robert Saleh, the Jets head coach. He's positive all the time, acknowledging we all make mistakes, so let's move on, learn, and then let's try not to do it again.
Well, you know who's my right now? Who's my favorite coach is Deion Sanders, prime time. Right now, the way he motivates his players, and the way he allows his players to do things and shine. I feel like he is great for the NCAA, and it's great for the coaching to see that. It's what he does. It's all positive vibes, and it's great.
His effect on people who watched him through his career, too. Softball team I played on around the same time you played at Harrison. We were named after him, Primetime, so I still have my Primetime jersey. Shows you the effect he had on people then through his career and the effect that he has on people now. No doubt about that. What he has done is that's already legendary, I think. Take two programs the way he has, two programs that were down for a long time, and to build them up the way he has, to where like Colorado is right now, on any given day, any given Saturday, they could probably beat any team in the country if they get a break or two. So
exactly. I agree.
You were on the outs with Jim Tressel, and Maryland is, I don't want to call it a Harrison high school football factory, but it's got many Harrison connections through the years. University of Maryland, I guess you had a connection or two there at that time.
Yeah, so I spoke to Dave Salazzo, who was a DA coach at the time, and I mentioned to him that I wanted to try to go to Maryland. So at the time, they didn't give me a scholarship right away. I had to earn that scholarship. So I went there in the summertime, took summer classes, and when I got all, when I passed all my summer classes, then I earned my scholarship to the University of Maryland. So I had to pay my way first, show to Coach Friedman and Coach Salazzo that I really wanted to be there. I really wanted to do what needed to do to 216. And he saw that, and he gave me the opportunity again.
Coach Friedman, talk about a Harrison connection. We mentioned it before. Ralph Friedman Jr., who is in the Westchester Sports Hall of Fame, as is his father, just one of a handful of father-son combinations in the Hall of Fame that have ever been inducted in through the years. Did you feel comfortable with Coach Friedman because he is a Harrison guy?
No, I just felt comfortable because he was a hard-nosed coach, and he didn't play. And, kind of a father figure, and I felt like I needed that. And he's always pushed me and lead me in the right direction. So that's why I felt comfortable being at Maryland, University of Maryland.
Now, what kind of an opportunity did he give you on the field there?
Well, I earned my way my junior year, my redshirt junior year. I was, I was getting playing time in 2003, but then I had a homecoming. I tore my ACL. And I was out for that year. And then my senior season, I led the season with 565 yards and about 5 touchdowns as a senior. And we were losing. We weren't winning as much. So we were 5-6 that year. It wasn't a great year for Maryland.
The knee injury, was it the same knee that you had hurt when you first attended Ohio State a few years before?
Yes, that actually was.
Did it turn into like a chronic knee injury?
No, it was just an ACL. And then I had 3 meniscus at the time. So I had like 4 knee surgeries total in my college career.
And you got up, you came back each time, which is what I think sports is about. You get knocked down, you come back up again. You got knocked down at Ohio State, you came back at Maryland.
Of course, that's what it's all about. You're getting back up and doing it again. And achieving your goals and what you want to do now.
Now, you graduated Harrison in 2000, correct?
Correct.
So your last football season was 99, right?
1999.
Mm-hmm. And then you go to Ohio State, you go to Maryland, 4 or 5 years go by. Did you get any sniffs, offers from the NFL?
In 2005, I had got invited to the Washington Redskins mini camp. And there, I again tore my knee up. I had meniscus, and then after that, I did not play football ever again. I decided to give it up.
How did you feel about that, knowing that maybe you had a shot at an NFL career, and then injuries hit you over and over and over again, got in the way?
Oh, it's very depressing. Very depressing. But you can learn how to fight through it. And I'm not gonna lie, I was very depressed for a very long time, but. Learn how to get through it and get back up again, like you do every time in football.
Mm-hmm. I've had some guys tell me, yeah, it's what I wanted to do, play in the league, but maybe it was God's plan. This was his way to steer me to do something else. What do you do nowadays? What have you done?
Well, since I've left football, I first went into the healthcare department. I worked as a BHA, Behavioral Health Associate, at Metropolitan Hospital in New York City. Mm-hmm. I was basically I worked on a psych ward. So I basically maintained order on the psych ward. I ran groups and I checked attendance in the rooms and all that. I did that for about 5 years. And then after that, I went to work for my father, who owned and managed parking garages in New York City. And then COVID hit, and I had surgery on my neck. I had 2 discs. One exploded, and the other one was hitting my spine and paralyzing me for about 7 months. and I did not realize it. So I was losing my ability to walk, and I thought I tore my ACL, and it was really bad. So I finally got an MRI, and they rushed me to the emergency room, saying I can be paralyzed any second now because the way the disc was hitting my spine. So I was out of work for about 2 years from the surgery on, and I started my own private car service in Westchester County. And I do that now, and I provide service to the Harrison community and whoever gives me a call and needs it.
Was the neck injury connected to football?
No, I did a pull-up. I came down and did a pull-up and jerked my neck. And ever since then, I started getting tingling in my fingers, and then all the things happening to my body, and then that's what happened.
Now, what's silly, the name silly. Of the company you have now?
It's called SNN Automotive LLC. Private car.
Where is it located? Harrison?
Yes, Harrison, New York.
Yes. How do you get in touch with you for somebody who might want to hire a car?
Oh, well, you can look me up online, and I have my I can give you my number. It's 347-366-0043. You can text me or call me anytime, or you can reach me on my email. It's smsa0214@icloud.com.
I see you have your Maryland gear on, hat, shirt, etc. You could have worn Harrison. You could have worn Ohio State, Maryland. You know, to me, that is, it's kind of like Harrison High School South, obviously. So it's kind of like wearing Harrison gear in its own way. Do you hope to get back involved with the game of football or athletics one day?
Well, I have a 2-year-old and a 7-year-old, two boys. So right now, I want to coach them up and get them right so they can be like daddy. And then maybe when they get older, I'm going to try to coach their teams and get involved that way.
Be like daddy. That's a high standard to hit, you know. Not every kid can be Sammy Maldonado.
Especially these days, the way they run the offense, they don't pound the ball no more like they used to, I feel like.
And that's football pounding the ball.
Yeah, so they don't run the high. They don't have the fullback no more. I don't see that when I go to the Harrison Husky team anymore. They all run the wishbone offense. And to be honest with you, when we were playing wishbone, we used to love playing people with wishbone because we would shut it down all the time.
Now it's all 4-wide, 5-wide, twins, trips, etc. It's the passing game what counts.
It definitely evolved into a passing game. A lot more quarterback, a lot more wide receivers getting involved. And that's why the value of running backs went down because they can have a running back slash receiver in the backfield. So it's a lot different now. Mm-hmm. It's more of a passing game.
Future goals for Sammy Maldonado. You got a long way to go.
Oh, I'm just taking it one day at a time and trying to look forward to waking up the next day.
Sammy, congratulations on your selection for the Westchester Sports Hall of Fame. All the best, and we'll see you on November 15th.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Again, our congratulations to you, Sammy Maldonado, Westchester Sports Hall of Fame, class of 2023, part of a 5-member class to be inducted November 15th, Glen Island Harbor Club in New Rochelle. If you'd like to go, get in touch with Kevin Cook at the Westchester Department of Parks, Recreation, and Conservation. This is the Sports Report, Westchester Talk Radio, westchestertalkradio.com. I'm John Marino, and we are produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that service built, by Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard. Also by White Plains Hospital and Michael Labriola Landscape Design and Construction of Armonk. Catch all of our Westchester, Rockland, Putnam, Dutchess, Orange, and Fairfield County talk radio programming on our YouTube channel, Shark Creative YouTube. Download our app. Take it with you 24/7, 365. It's called Westchester Talk, and you know it. Yes, we are now on Apple Podcasts, too.